never became that money was the driving force. It was doing the things you love, having a quality of life that you're happy and proud of.
Well, hi, everyone. I'm Andy Asher. How awesome to find a passionate way to spend your time and earn enough to make you happy. Now, we're going to hear a lot more from Nancy Castillo and Lois Geshewelm and how they traded the comfortable predictability of a stable income for the opportunity to work what they're passionate about and then get paid doing it. So, Nancy and Lois, when I talked to you earlier, we talked about your life in corporate America, and while it sounds like you endured things okay, like most of us force ourselves to, there were those thoughts in the back of your mind that maybe you wanted something more.
This is Nancy, and thanks for having us. I was with State Farm Insurance for 27 years when I left and eventually joined the business. But when we did open up the business in 2003, I stayed on at State Farm just to kind of let the kind of see how things went in the new business and everything. But like many corporations, there were changes going on, transitions going on almost constantly there. And in 2006, it became evident that the department that I was in was going away. And it just, you know, I could have stayed on. I was 50 years old at that point in time and could have stayed on to a retirement age of 55, but I knew I'd find more joy and more happiness joining the business here at Wild Birds Unlimited. So it was a big leap. We were able to do it financially, but and it was a big leap. But I'm, you know, it's nice to. I'm glad that I did it.
So Nancy, before you decided to actually go out on your own, I'm sure there must have been lots of things working in your mind, doubts and fears. What was the biggest thing that held you back?
It was the paycheck mostly, you know, because I was involved in the business even while I was at State Farm, obviously, just not during, you know, my 8 to 5 Monday through Friday when I was working with State Farm. But, you know, the financial leap was significant. But, you know, we had done a good job of, you know, putting savings away, participating in the 401k that they offered and IRAs and stuff like that. So you're in a position, you know, where you do the calculations, you see if between the severance and what you have, you're able to make that leap. I'm going to share something with you is that I joke about it, but I say that I took an 89% cut in pay, leaving
yeah.
Farm for the business. So, you know, the fact that I can joke about it is a good thing. But so it was more of a financial leap than the business at that time in 2006 had been on its feet for 3 years. We were, you know, in a good position. We were lucky is that its viability was never really in question. So, you know, I knew I was going to a business that was going to endure.
But you probably weren't chuckling too much when you realized that leap back then was going to affect nearly 90% of your income.
Because we had it, you know, planned out and, you know, had, you know, we were counting on the business for some income, but also had some severance and some other money to help in the transition.
And this is Lois. And I think also what made us confident in taking that is that it no longer became that money was the driving force. It was doing the things you love, having a quality of life that you're happy and proud of and that you feel is more substantial to the community and the people around you. And that it's not, everything is in life is not necessarily dollar associated. There are things that are like the hobby we're in, feeding the birds, just a very therapeutic and relaxing kind of hobby that, you know, we can share that with others in the business that we have, and then we can have that at home for our own mental health as well.
It certainly sounds like you're doing things for all the right reasons, but despite all of that, there's always that in the back of your mind about making ends meet.
We're, you know, because, well, I've been gone from State Farm since the end of 2006, so, you know, it's been 8 full years that, you know, we've been able to, you know, show that, hey, we can do this. And looking back, I wouldn't change a thing as far as, you know, the timing of it. And it was the right time for me to go.
Nancy and Lois, before we get too lost in our conversation, let's let people know what you do. You own a company or a business called Wild Birds Unlimited in Saratoga Springs, New York, which, like the name implies, goes towards activities related to birds. And I know birding and bird watching has really become popular. Something I noticed, too, in reading about you and your business is that you really contribute a lot to some of the charitable organizations in your area. And, you know, that is so neat. I mean, that's always something, as I get older, I'd like to do more of.
Well, it's very easy to support charitable organizations that share our values with a small donation from the shelves of our store, supporting them, you know, doing good. And, you know, at not a huge cost, but it gets our name out there. It shows that we care about the community and care about those charitable organizations. So it wasn't a big leap. And you start modest and you grow in that kind of support as the business grows.
I know a lot of times advisors are going to tell you that one of the big risks in business or going out on your own or starting a new enterprise is oftentimes you're going to confront things that you were just unprepared for. You didn't expect, you know, it's kind of that axiom, you don't know what you don't know. You must have thought about that. How did you address it?
Well, I guess in some ways that becomes maybe the whole journey of life in, you know, where you grew up, what was the guidance you had, models you had in your childhood that said, you know, what are the true components of a successful life? And some people might find that it's reaching their earning potential and grabbing big things and having material things that have done well. And then some may be more like the ultimate goal is happiness in life. If you're going to a job and getting a big paycheck, but as a person you're not happy, are you reaching your full potential if you're not happy? It's the things that inspire you to do it for a passion. And I think that's what this is Lois. I have a tremendous passion for what I do, and it's not necessarily about the paycheck, though I want to be making enough money to have the vital things that I need in life, able to put into retirement, able to provide health insurance for myself, able to make donations to the organizations that share our values and our interest, and then to you know, be happy with life and the contributions I can make and being part of society. So, you know, who was your model in what you want to have in life? And, yeah, I think it's what we've found is the combination that I and Nancy have is I have a passion that connects really well with people, and she has a business sense to her that keeps our costs down and really works on, you know, the financials to make our business successful, not only for ourselves, but for our community and the people we employ.
Are there any, is there any single bit of advice for someone who's ready to leap into something new in their life? Or do you think every person there's a different reason and a different something to think about?
You know, I think everybody has a different kind of leaping off point, but and this kind of, you know, kind of ties into your previous question, is that enjoy learning. You know, neither of us came from, well, I didn't come from a retail background. Lois had some retail, customer-facing experience with her, but not to this level. And what we have both learned, you know, since we opened the store in 2003, has just been amazing. And you're learning all the time, And you're growing all the time because of that. And it's kind of fun to look back and say, boy, I didn't realize that I enjoyed the marketing as much as I do, or I didn't know that I enjoyed writing as much as I do. And so it's just embracing and, you know, being ready to go on a journey of learning a whole bunch of new stuff and growing as a person as a result.
You know, I've gotten into bird watching in the last year. I discovered my neighbor is a retired ornithologist from the university here, and I've really gotten to love it. Tell us a little bit more about Wild Birds Unlimited.
We're a member of a franchise. Wild Birds Unlimited is about 280 stores throughout the U.S. and Canada. So a lot of just a little franchisees, kind of small business type of thing. And, you know, in the we're going on 12 years that we've been doing this. It's been great to have an organization to support us, so that it makes it a little easier. Though we're a small business, it does give us a little bit bigger buying power, like the bigger stores have. And then it's saying, you know, I have the skills to compete with the bigger store because I can respond more specifically to the needs of my customers, and I don't have to generalize it with everything underneath the sun, and just say, if you want our experience, this is our experience, and you know, it's a great experience.
And it's selling bird supplies and related material in your community.
Yeah, I mean, it's an activity that can engage the whole family, brings the family together to converse. Nowadays, families, it doesn't matter what age, the communication forms for a generation that's, you know, years, you know, my parents' generation, the internet, the texting, the cell phones, that's a hard thing to grasp, but they still want to make that connections with grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And that connection still is the best connection, is face-to-face.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Is that Nancy?
Yeah, I was just going to add that, you know, as we boomers, you know, reach the time where we're spending more and more time at home, we are spending more time to enhance our homes and our yards. And what the bird feeding hobby does is that instead of looking out at a beautiful yard, you know, with flowers and everything, that has some color and, you know, and it looks nice, but it's missing life. It's missing sound. And that's what the birds add to that, is that to look out and to always be able to see some movement and some color, moving color, and some sound in your yard just enhances that whole joy in, you know, your daily walk around the yard as you enjoy all your flowers and your plantings, and a cardinal flies by or a chickadee goes, you know, chickadee dee dee, you know, and it just adds so much value. And that's what we love sharing with the customers, is bringing that into their yard so that every day they can look out and experience that.
Now, you went, I don't know if you want to call it old school or not, but you went with a brick and mortar type business, and you hear so much about online, the online world. How did you decide to go that route?
Well, the franchise model is for Wild Birds Unlimited. The franchises are all brick and mortar locations, but we are supported by an online store, so that those areas that aren't serviced or it's inconvenient to get to a Wild Birds Unlimited store, there is an online location for to buy Wild Birds Unlimited products.
So looking back now, you endured, if you will, the corporate world for going on 30 years. Must each day there were some doubts in your mind, especially for people who are entrepreneurial or want to try something different. What was that like?
This is Lois, and for me, I went into the corporate world to get the paycheck and all of those things, and I was able to do that. But the glow in the person that I am was tarnished sitting at a desk and punching in numbers. The glow that is me is engaging with people. So the opportunity to utilize my skills that make me shine as a person, that would also bring business, and my previous experiences that I'd had, I know I enjoyed engaging with people.
And so I felt I had experienced some of the retail world and small business and said, you know, if you have the right thing, you have the right product, you have the right demographics around you to support it, and you have the right people, we can be successful. And then corporate America, which maybe wasn't always open to your ideas, we solicit them, but we might not always be open to them. You can go and say, you know, I appreciate the income I got. I appreciate the insurance I got with the business. It helped me to get to the stage where, to be the best person I could be, I could leave that corporate America and be successful in owning a business. And I think Nancy felt that way as well, is that as life winds down in corporate America, your value as a person sometimes becomes a little bit more diminished, and you're not your eagerness of 30 is not there to do everything for everyone as much, because you see that there's value in all of the other parts of your life. And I've just been working for, you know, this job, and is that really what I want? So I think both of us are happy with being successful with our business because we had that skill sets in whatever job we chose. We have a work ethic that makes us want to compete and be successful, but be respectful of you know, what it is. It's not at the cost of alienating our customers or anything like that. Respect them, that we feel we have a product that will add value to their life.
Is it ever too late to start?
There are some physical demands to this particular job, this particular franchise opportunity. So, you know, could I see myself at, you know, 10 or 20 years older than I am right now? I'm 58. You know, it would be a little bit more demanding. We all get tired a little bit sooner. We can't lift as much. Our hands aren't as strong. You know, so I think we got in it at about the right time. You know, so I was, 40?
I was, you were 44 or 47, mm-hmm. and I was 43. I don't know that it's ever, you know, that you can ever be, you know, at an age too late, but you really need to be fully prepared in going in of what it's going to be. It's financially, when you start a business, you need to be secure in all of those other things you want in life, because if you're putting kids through college, it's not going to pay for that. If you're wanting to set some money aside for retirement, it's not going to do that for you. But if you, what I see is it's a possibility for generations to pass along, to take your skills that you've had in the business world, in corporate America, because those are all great training things on how to be successful in making the good choices. You get a lot of good training there. And then provide an opportunity. Maybe you have children that are in college, and the world is very questionable of what it's going to be for them. But you have a business that you can use them in free time for some young labor around, which they will find it a great learning experience if you have the right combination. And, you know, kind of an apprenticeship. What we find in young people coming in now is that the drive to work is for a paycheck. It's not to get experience to make them successful in all of the endeavors in life. It's just a job to pay the bills that may come. And, you know, having the opportunity to maybe put young people in a good learning experience and give them an opportunity to gain some skills in the workplace and support them as they go through school and the expenses of school. You know, it can happen at any age as far as that's concerned.
Hey, great way to close things out, Lois and Nancy, over Wild Birds Unlimited up in Saratoga Springs, New York. Thanks again. It's been a real inspiration.
Well, appreciate that, yep. Andy. This is Lois.
Yep, we will appreciate it. So thank you very much for inviting us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's our show for today. Thanks for listening to the Smart New Income Podcast. Please take a moment to leave an honest review on iTunes. It really helps, and visit us at smartnewincome.com.